Welcome back to the Double Docs Podcast, a podcast devoted to exploring the MD-PhD journey of three UCLA Caltech MSTP students. I'm Daniel.
I'm Dimitri.
And I'm George.
In this podcast, we share our views and discuss things we find pretty interesting. These are not meant to be recommendations or medical advice, but are solely our opinions and experiences and not representative of those views expressed by any affiliate institution.
We started this podcast in order to introduce people to MD-PhD programs, provide some insight on how to apply, and talk about what the journey looks like and what your career options look like afterwards. Well, boys, we are back.
Got a little older.
The wisdom just exudes off of us.
Thanks. Not us, just me, actually.
Today, we're talking about transitioning to the PhD. Specifically, let's talk about how to choose a PI, an advisor, what rotations look like, and just everything having to do with grad school.
So for our program, you are offered an optional rotation the summer before you start. And I think that tends to be a popular one because we are required to do at least two rotations prior to picking a lab. And so at the time, I decided to move down a little earlier before medical school started and do an optional rotation with Richard Anderson at Caltech.
Yeah, I think it's definitely highly encouraged that students take that opportunity because, one, it's a good opportunity to knock out some rotations before the start of med school. But another thing is you get to get a feel for what the institution you're going to be starting your MD-PhD at is like. I think it's nice to get a lay of the land before the start of classes. But yeah, I found my rotations to be incredibly helpful. I did mine with Sarkis Mazmanyan and with Mikhail Shapiro, who ended up joining the lab of afterwards. But I thought it was a really wonderful experience, kind of getting your feet wet with research before the start of med school. Although it is also nice to take some time off before the start of the program.
Yeah, like these dudes, I also did a summer rotation with David Nathanson, whose lab I'm in now. I think it went really well in terms of, you know, research productivity. But I think the most important part was like I was moving to LA for the first time and doing that optional summer rotation really helped me get the lay of the land of both UCLA and like the city I would be calling home for the next. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Forever.
How'd you guys end up choosing your first rotation?
The internet.
I mean, honestly, that was partly what happened for me. I mean, I did know of Mikhail's group from undergrad, and I had worked with Sarkis Mazmanyan beforehand. But during Second Look, they had us make a list of potential PIs that we'd be interested in working with. And on that list was Mikhail and several others. And, that ended up guiding those rotations for me. And I think that's what most people do. They kind of make a list during their Second Look, and the labs that they put on there ends up, some of those labs end up being the labs that they rotate with.
Yeah, I think for me, it's a pretty similar thing. Actually, I think you sort of have a sense of which PIs you might want to work with, starting way earlier, even before the start of your PhD, just because when you first apply to these programs, I think in general, it's good practice to get a sense for which PIs you might want to work with eventually. And I think from there, you already have a running list of potential PIs you could work with. I think for another sort of tip is that it's helpful before you pick your rotations, because sometimes you do have more options or more labs you might want to rotate in than you have rotations available. It's good to talk to and reach out to like grad students and postdocs in the labs you might want to rotate in to get a sense of what are the existing projects, what are the existing directions in the lab, and you know, even if there's space in that lab that year for new grad students. So for example, there were several labs I was interested in, but after talking to some grad students, I decided to forgo a certain rotation because I didn't think it would be a good fit.
Well, as I said earlier, peruse the internet for sort of labs that were doing, you know, translational research and in the brain cancer space. And Dr. Nathanson came up and he had a really well put together lab website that made it easy to like figure out, you know, what the lab was working on, the various graduate students, postdocs, technicians in the lab. And I guess I picked that lab because it seemed approachable and also doing things that I was interested in doing. And so I sent off an email to David, and I think he responded within 2 minutes of me sending the email. And so wow. After that, it was a pretty easy decision. Honestly, our first conversation went really well, and he was interested in what I had to bring to the lab in terms of my background in like proteomics and various molecular techniques, although I was missing some of like the key translational biology that I was hoping to learn in that lab.
Actually, I think approachability is a big one. Like I've seen certain lab websites where it's literally like a block of text and the PI's face on the front page. Yeah. And I think those websites not only are harder to sort of read through and figure out who you can reach out to contact people with, but it does make the whole process a bit more intimidating. So having a really well-organized website, sort of demonstrating all the contributions from different members of the lab, is like I think a really nice benefit to have. And I think also is like a good way to draw in students. Like I think this is more advice on the on the lab side of things, but
no, I agree. I think like even though I'd like to think it is nice sitting through and reading the most recent publications of a PI, sometimes leading up to that meeting, it's challenging, especially if it's not your field, that it's not a field that you're familiar with. I think it is really helpful going through the website and getting a sense of what are the different projects going on in the lab, what is the research focus of the lab, what is some past work, because I think it could be very easy to be overwhelmed with the sheer number of papers from a given lab.
What was that time like for you guys like? Because I know we talked briefly about messaging the PI and asking if we could do rotation, but I think it's helpful to sort of know those details in terms of, you know, how early did you message the PI? What was the process of actually getting your foot in the door, if you will?
It was right around the time of like second looks / revisits. I don't know what they call them nowadays. And I didn't meet with him during UCLA's second look. I think it was like a week before or a week after where we had scheduled our first meeting. But it was around that time where I was like, you know, mostly decided on attending UCLA, but still like attending the revisits of other schools just to, you know, make sure I was honestly committed to this school. But yeah, it was just a time of like reflecting on, you know, where I wanted to see myself end up in my future. And I think that was a good time to like step out of what I was currently doing in my previous lab and think ahead towards, you know, what I wanted to do with my own independent career.
Yeah, very similar for me. It was right about second look. I think in general, you want to plan these rotations, you know, 3 to 6 months in advance, if not more. I think it gives the PI an opportunity to find projects and pair you up with other grad students or postdocs. So I think giving them that heads up is very important. But it is also nice, especially for students who are graduating or they're in their gap year and they're preparing to start their MD-PhD, to kind of take some time to think about what their rotation projects are like and not have to worry about that during the course of the rotation. And I think we can definitely go into the specifics of what a rotation entails. And I'd love to hear your guys' perspectives on like what things you guys found useful or what things you guys found not that useful during the rotation. But yeah, it's good to have a general idea of where you want to go with that project a couple of months beforehand, so that if you need to purchase reagents or you need to do any sort of training, you can get that out of the way so that you don't waste time, you know, at the start of the rotation, just doing logistical stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a big one, actually. I think in general, you want to at least give, like George was saying, like, 2 to 3 months minimum, I would say. Because like sometimes, especially if you are new to an institution, it takes time to like onboard you and to fill out all that paperwork. And so you just want to be aware of that and not, message someone like a week before you might want to rotate and be like, oh, by the way, I'm a new student. Like, what can I do to like get in your lab the next week? I think that tends not to work as well. So, plan ahead and make sure you start figuring out those logistics early so you don't run into any mishaps. Actually, related to that, my first rotation was mostly computational. And that was intentional because, if I were to do something like animal related, which had been my previous experience, I would have taken at least 2 to 3 months of training and paperwork to get all that through. Whereas something computational, you maybe had to take like one IRB, an ethics class, and that was it.
Yeah, I think those are great points. And I think like how your experience in setting up your like rotation project and beginning logistics can tell you a lot about the lab. Some labs are not as organized as others, but I had a good experience in the Nathanson lab where they sent me like a professionally made document of like all the trainings I had to complete, like optional sections for radiation safety, animal training, blah, 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 blah. And that really helped, focus my efforts towards like my research project rather than like, figuring out how to actually get my hands wet in the lab. And then in terms of like purchasing reagents, like it's always helpful to be proactive and like, plan ahead for your own project and don't count on them having everything you need. And so like Dr. Nathanson had me send one of the postdocs I would be working with, like a list of everything I needed. And I think at first my list totaled $10,000 and I was quickly told no, but did get significant fraction of that list. And so I called that a win in my book.
Nice.
But that really helped me like hit the ground running because, they had everything ready for me to go and I was all set with my trainings.
Yeah, I think one important thing that Dimitri touched on is like, what do you look for as you're doing your rotations? And I think there are a lot of important things in addition to the research, right, that you want to think about.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Like, the research itself, yes, it's important, but I think even more important than that during the rotation especially is like, what is the lab culture like? What is the, how easily can you get an idea down to an experiment? I think just getting, how often do you have FaceTime with the PI? How often are you able to get mentorship from grad students or postdocs? I think those are stuff that are probably equally as important, if not more important than the actual projects. I completely agree with you guys on like the importance of kind of picking up on those things.
Yeah. So like, for example, during my first rotation, the project itself was super interesting. So Richard Anderson works on brain machine interfaces. And so we were essentially writing code and training models to be able to move a robot arm based on neural signal. And so the project was super interesting. I got along really well with a senior scientist who I was working with. We actually got to work with a patient too during the project. And so the science was all super cool. But the reason why I decided not to stay in the lab in the long run was because, this was like 2 years before I'd start my PhD. And as it turned out, in terms of the timing of the lab, the senior scientist who was like one of the big visionaries in the lab was leaving that year. And so we're like 2/3 of the lab. And so there's going to be a huge turnover. And it's sort of unclear where the direction of the lab was going to be in the future when I would be starting my PhD. And so, I did keep an eye out for that. And I think because I wasn't quite sure how things were going to go, I decided to join a different lab after a following rotation. So I think that's an example of where even though the science might be well aligned and super compelling, there are factors other outside that you should be paying attention to that are really important and can affect you know, your entire PhD essentially.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like during, it's not like a typical, you know, PhD student rotation where you're going to join, you know, within the calendar year or something like that. Often as MD PhD students, you have a good year or two of gap time before you're actually like in the lab full time. And UCLA, I guess, is a bit different, but I guess it's back to 2 years. And so that is something to consider, like talking to the PI about like, where do you see the project that you're currently working on, like evolving within that time? Are you going to stay involved during med school? Is that a good idea? I don't know. These are things I didn't really think about because I'm a little insane, but normal students should do that.
I think another thing that comes to mind, like as you were mentioning those things, you also want to make sure that the PI is not taking you on as a rotation student just to get grunt work out of the way for one of their projects. You want this to be an opportunity for you to of course learn techniques. You know, if there's a particular assay or approach that you want to learn, I think this is a great opportunity to do that, but also to have meaningful, you know, questions or projects to be a part of. That said, going back to what Daniel was talking about, one of the advices I got from one of my mentors, Sarkis Mazmanian, was that the science of a project is important for the PhD, but more important than that is the PI and the lab culture. Because as sad as it is, like within 10, 20 years, the science that we do is likely going to be obsolete at that point. But what
or
stays with
falsified.
Us or falsified,
Dana
God forbid. Oh no.
Sorry, that's spicy.
Or a spicy hot
take. It's publicly known information.
Yeah, that's true. That's
it's
true.
Out there now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was horrible. But yeah, it, you know, what stays with us is the training that we get. What stays with us is the mentorship, our ability to think about problems, our ability to troubleshoot and to kind of understand how to process data. I think that usually comes from people you're working with, your PI, kind of guiding your project. So I think even though the science of it is important and the project should be intellectually stimulating, I think it's also good to find the culture where you can, you know, you can call it home.
I think like very, very closely related to that, there's, I think another thing that's really good to do during your rotation is take the time to talk to various members of the lab and get a sense for what their projects are. And like, you know, one way you could do that is just like attend a variety of subgroup meetings and lab meetings, because I think that gives you a really good sense and a sort of a pulse for the directions the lab is taking, what people are interested in generally, and where you could potentially fit in and sort of apply your skill sets or even like things you want to learn. So I think when I did my later rotation with the Shapiro group, we have like, you know, three subgroups and then like a main lab meeting.
Yeah.
But it's really nice just to be able to hear like all the different types of projects that people are working on, and you can really soak everything in like a sponge and get a sense for, you know, if it's like the type of science that you want to be involved in, and the type of people who you want to be working with like on the day to day, you know.
Yeah. And just, you know, following up that point, like don't be the rotation student who's, you know, gets an assigned bench and you sit there and you're like quiet and not really involved, or like you're sitting in lab meeting in the back, not asking questions. Like that's the whole point of your rotation, you know, bug people, ask them what they're working on, attend meetings, ask questions. Don't be like, you know, obnoxious about it, but like, you're not going to learn during your rotation if you're just sitting there, you know, reading every paper you can about the project. It's really about like interacting with other members of the lab, the PI, and getting involved in the science. intellectually, and that allows you to like really immerse yourself in the lab's culture as well. Because I think how they handle, you know, the stupid questions of a student who just joined and has no idea what they're working on really says a lot about, like, you know, the team that you would be working with in the future if you were to join.
Yeah, I think a really great phrase you mentioned, and our PI said something very similar, is science is a very human endeavor, you know? And so, like, I think I would have been one of the people who is, like, afraid to reach out and, like, talk to a variety of different people. And so, you know, if that's you, I think you do have to put a little bit of extra pressure on yourself to get out of your comfort zone and really schedule meetings and talk to people on one-on-one. I think that's generally just good practice, and it'll help you on your rotations as well.
Yeah. I mean, I forget who mentioned this, but like, just be a sponge. You know, the purpose is for you to learn. And even if you don't end up, committing to that lab afterwards, you learn a lot of skills that may apply to your project in the future, but B, you also make lifelong friends. You know, it's, even if you end up not being in that lab, you can always run over to their group, get, you know, run ideas by people. Yeah. One thing I really appreciate, at least within our lab, is former rotation students are often stopping by asking questions, getting reagents as needed. but I think, it's important for you to be a sponge and just try to learn as much as you can during that rotation. And another thing I do want to mention is, you know, it's totally okay if the rotation project doesn't work out. The purpose is not to have publishable work. it's more so for you to get your feet in the water, especially if it's in a field that you're not as well versed in or don't have a background in. I remember for my first rotation, we were building it's called like a lecometer or binging behavior in mice depleted of their microbiome. And effectively, the rotation project was building this device using like an Arduino and 3D printed parts. Long story short, like the rotation project didn't work out at all. We saw that like this device just does not work, this homemade device. But like throughout that process, I learned so much. And I remember like during the rotation presentation, the PI was like, you know, I'm glad you had this experience. even though the data sucked, it was so bad. It was a great learning opportunity, like how to code, how to process data, how to do behavioral mouse work. It was pretty cool. So moral of the story is that it is okay to fail. And it's okay if the rotation project doesn't end up reaping any publishable results.
Yeah. And it's honestly better if you find that out early rather than, you know, like 2-3 years into your PhD, you realize, oh shit, this is not going to work.
So thesis projects fail. That's not great.